Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Rachel Cruz, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today, number one best-selling author and my daughter. Thank you for joining us. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Hey, guys, I want to just stop a second, especially this time of the year, and say thank you to all of you. We regularly ask you to consider subscribing to the show on YouTube or as on your local podcast, your version of where you listen to podcasts and so forth, or, of course, share it with a friend. You can do that with a link or a text or whatever, or if you're listening on radio, just say, hey, listen to the radio station. Here's the time that the Ramsey Show is on, and you just spread the word for us. Thank you so much for that, and we know that you do it a lot because we just got this thing in from Spotify that says your podcast was in the top 1% of all podcasts in the world shared. So you guys are sharing it so much, telling people about this on Spotify in particular, that we're in the top 1% of in the top 1% most shared globally. I'll use their verbiage so I get it in the right place, yeah, to sentence. Yeah. Thank you.
I know.
That's thank a you huge for deal. Sharing it, and thank you for telling people about this, and we're glad that we're helpful.
Yep. And what's fun is on like Instagram and stuff, you get your top, Spotify's putting out your top podcasts that you listen to, or top songs, or top artists. Like, you get your kind of your yearly top list. And so there's been so many sending, you know, our shows. And so
yeah, it's like the Ramsey
Jacob
Show.
D, it's like Ramsey Show, Dr. John Deloney Show, Smart Money Happy Hour with Rachel Cruz. He was like, I think I have an addiction to
and,
Ramsey.
You know, Ken Coleman Show,
yeah,
all of them. And so those are all Ramsey Network productions, and they're all of us jumping in and off of each other's shows is what it amounts to. And this one's kind of the mothership that you're listening to here. But thank you, guys. Thanks for listening to Dr. Deloney. For Smart Money Happy Hour is a big hit. It's really, really fun. Even for old people, I like it. Until
boomers like it too.
Until this week, and I don't like the blind love is thing, the reality
love
show stuff.
Is blind.
That was a painful episode. But you and George handled it, the process, well, and your addiction to those reality shows is a little bit disheartening. But
it gives me life. It gives me life.
I love it. Clarence is with us. Clarence is in Baton Rouge. Hey, Clarence, what's up?
Hey, Dave and Rachel. It's really good to talk to you. And Rachel, I have to say that this week's episode of Smart Money Happy Hour, actually enjoyed more than I thought I would.
Yes. So, thank you, Clarence. You're saving me.
Wow.
You're
Clarence,
saving me.
You're a love is blind guy?
I wasn't until I listened to it, and Rachel was so enthusiastic.
She is enthusiastic.
You got to binge it.
Sure.
You got to binge it over Christmas break.
You just have to be careful what you're enthusiastic about out there.
So
I'm just
good.
Saying. All right, man. How can we help today?
Sure. So, you know, it's almost Christmas time, and we're in baby step two, but my parents said they wanted to pay for the gas money for us to come home for Christmas, because obviously that wasn't an option for us to come home while we're in baby step two. And, you know, there's no strings attached. They don't want us to get any gifts or anything. They just want us to be home for the holidays with them. You know, especially they want to see their grandkids and everything. So I just wanted to hear your advice about it, because I just feel guilty because I have been, you know, working the baby steps, getting stuff done. But I just feel like everything's, you know, my fault because, you know, I'm the one that got us into the debt to begin with. And my parents have helped us out with things before, with, you know, especially before we were Gazelle and Pence. And now that we are, it just kind of feels weird, you know, accepting their charity when, you know, I just want to kind of just do things and just kind of buckle in myself and just get through the baby stuff.
Okay, so I kind of want to figure out, is this a little bit of just like a pride thing, or is there a value system that you and your wife have set this holiday season? And the only reason I ask I was talking to Dr. John Deloney about this, and about, you know, setting up boundaries, and like, if things are just, if they're crazy, like there's a level that you, you know, may say no this year, not necessarily because you can't financially afford it, but just even on an emotional standpoint of like, if you're just like, I just want our family's choosing something different. So is there any level of that, or is it just strictly you feel weird accepting money from your parents for gas money, but you guys want to go there?
Well, I think you nailed exactly what my wife has been saying, that she doesn't want it to be a pride thing for me of being just self-reliant.
Yeah.
It's more of just like, you know, we've been, you know, working hard towards it. It's not like it's going to negatively contribute to us. It's not going to put us any further in debt. I just, you know, my parents have done a lot to help us over the years. And sometimes it feels weird for me being, you know, in my late 20s and, you know, I'm working on, you know, various degrees. So we're not making a ton of money right now. But, you know, eventually we'll, you know, build up our income. But it just feels like, I guess that's why I was asking to see if it was a pride thing for me as opposed to just hey, this is,
it is a pride thing, and it's not a bad kind of pride to just stand up and go, you know, I feel more like a little boy than a man when I do this, and I don't like it. And that's okay to say out loud. Okay. And then the weird thing is once you say it out loud, it kind of loses its power. You know, we were making pretty decent money. We didn't need the money. And when Rachel was a little girl, her grandpa, Sharon's dad, owned a gas station. And it was kind of tradition when you went in for Thanksgiving, everybody filled up at the gas station. And it wasn't, you know, he's like, make sure you get a tank of gas before you leave. And we're like, you bet, Papa. Especially the cost of gas right now, you know. So, but it didn't have, it wasn't because we couldn't afford it. That was different. Or it wasn't because we were working a plan. That was different. But it was still free money from Grandpa, you know, kind of thing. So I kind of get what you're saying. I think it's a normal feeling to do this, but if I were in your shoes, I would accept the gift and go home and let them see their grandkids.
Okay, well, that's great. That's exactly why I called you guys. I think that you and Rachel, perfect ones to answer this, so thank you so much.
It speaks highly of your character that you're struggling with this a little bit. If you let it completely dominate who you are and keep everyone from having a good Christmas, then it's kind of gone over the bubble. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so I'm proud of you.
Yeah, it's great,
Clarence.
You're a good man. Yep, accept it. Go home for the holidays.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. And it's, you know, interesting. We talk about giving a lot, and we're doing the giving show on the 14th. And if you have a great giving story, by the way, email it to us at ask@RamseySolutions.com. Ask@RamseySolutions.com. Put giving in the subject line. But one of the most difficult things about giving is learning to receive.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. It's hard for me.
And I almost can say more about, I mean, like, there's a level of, like,
I struggle with receiving things, especially things that are out of proportion, kind of things, like it's over the top stuff.
Yep.
That one I really, really, really struggle with. This is The Ramsey Show. Guys, it's no secret that the real estate market is weird right now. So go with a mortgage company you can trust to have your back. Churchill Mortgage. Churchill is Ramsey trusted because they're stable, reliable, and focused on you. At a time when a lot of companies are being bought out or going out of business, count on Churchill Mortgage to stick around. They've been doing things the right way for over 30 years, and they'll keep doing them the right way for 30 more. Get started at churchillmortgage.com.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. NMLS consumeraccess.org. Equal housing lender. 1749 Mallory Lane, Suite 100. Brentwood, Tennessee 37027.
Rachel Cruz, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today, best-selling author. Thank you for joining us, America. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Hey, if you procrastinated, blew past Black Friday, Cyber Monday, we're extending our Cyber Monday sale. We're here to help. For this week only, you can get our best-selling books and tools as low as $5. You got to hurry. These deals will end this week. You can get our quick reads like my latest, The Momentum Theorem, Dr. John Deloney's Redefining Anxiety, all under $10. Our number one bundle, the Starter Special, has 77% off on it. And we've extended the Cyber Monday sale on the $10 book sale, which includes all three of Rachel's books, number one bestsellers, and Baby Steps Millionaires, my latest number one bestsellers, $10, and Total Money Makeover, all there. This is not a place where you're going to find inflation. As a matter of fact, we are into deflation, like recession, apparently. I don't know what our problem is. Cyber Monday sale continues all week long. Be sure and check it out, RamseySolutions.com. Our question of the day comes from Blinds.com. It's the number one online retailer of custom window coverings, free samples, free shipping, and new promos all the time. Check it all out. They use the promo code Ramsey when you do.
And today's question comes from Rachel in Kentucky. Our 19-year-old daughter just moved out after paying rent to us for the last 8 months. My husband wants to consider the money as hers and give it back to her, but I disagree. Currently, she has zero plans to go to college and has moved out because we made her. It was time. I was considering investing some of it or using the money to pay for college for our other daughter who will be graduating high school next year. What's your opinion? Mom is
hard core.
Mom is feisty towards her daughter. Oh, I bet if it was a son, she'd give him the money.
Oh!
100%.
Oh!
I'm harder on my daughters, I feel like, than Charles, my little baby boy.
Little baby boy.
So sweet. I don't know. Rachel, let me think. I mean, I think it's fine not to give it back to her. It does feel funny using her money to pay for the other sister's college. Would you give it back to her? Even if she has no plans, like she doesn't know what she's going to be doing?
Okay, there's something wrong with this situation that is not money. It was time for her to leave, and I'm going to take her money and give it to her sister. It kind of sounds like we're a little pissed at daughter.
I don't know. I feel like
there's
something.
There's a little friction here.
I feel a little something.
Mom. It's time for her to get out. Well, hey, I'm with you. Kick them out. I ain't got any problem with that part. But get out there and do your
and
thing.
And I don't think you have to give her back the money,
though.
You
don't have to, but don't not give it to her because you're angry with her for her behavior. And then don't not give it to her and double down on the punishment and give it to her sister. Yeah, that's a little vindictive is the way it feels a little bit here. So, by and large, I think...
That is kind of sad, though. I'm thinking about my two daughters, and if I'm like, I'm taking...
You're so mad at one of them, you give it to the other one?
Yeah. Giving it to Caroline.
Yeah, it's like, you little twerp, I'm going to give it to your sister. I think your husband is probably saying that giving your daughter back this money is not a moral issue. It's not an ethical issue. I don't think it is. I don't think you owe it to her. I think her leaving with a little bit of friction as she leaves, sparks flying as the old trunk was drug out and thrown in the back of the car, or whatever we call it here, this would be just a little grace.
Mm.
I'm going to give it to her and just call it grace and just put not to try to buy her affection or to cover over the misbehavior or something like that. I don't know what went on, but you said it was time for her to go, so there's something a little bit pushy there. And
because we made her, it
we
says
made
she moved
her
out
leave.
Because yeah,
yeah. So,
yeah. She was doing nothing. I mean, she could, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
So maybe you tie the giving money back to her based on her behavior. Some behavior you want to encourage out there in the wild. Okay. And so like, if you do this or this, we'll give you the money. We're going to give you this back. Or, like for instance, and honestly, I kind of think mom's pretty upset with her. There's a lot of emotion in these words.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably mom, you step back and just ask your husband to talk to her about it, to the daughter about it.
Mm.
And because there seems to be a little bit there, and just say, I think we might want to help you in your new start. And if you like went through,
so we'll match you your emergency fund or something.
Yeah, if you match your emergency fund, or will, or if you're gonna pay off some debt, we'll help you with that, and we'll match that up. We're gonna use some of the money you paid us in rent to help you get started and to encourage some good behaviors. If you want to go through Financial Peace University, we would give you $1,000 of this back as an incentive to do that, or something like that, something that helps the the daughter that left get her get a sustainable situation out there. But now I would not give it to her if she's misbehaving out in the wild.
Yeah.
And you're going to finance her misbehavior by giving her her old rent money back. That's not an act of love. That's just enabling.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I guess there's a lot going on here that we don't know, but we are sure mom's hardcore. No question. And I like her. It's great. Because an eagle that doesn't leave the nest is eventually known as a turkey. Open phones at 888-825-5225. 888-825-5225. You know, I found that line was when you and I did that book, Smart Money, Smart Kids. Your first number one.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about kids leaving the nest in that book. And, you know, in researching that book and trying to put verbiage to some of the stuff that we did in our family and that we've taught other families to do on teaching their kids how to handle money, that's when that line came up, and that's how long I've been doing that. It just occurred to me. That's where that came from.
Yeah.
All right. James is with us in San Bernardino, California. What's up, James?
Hey, how's it going, Dave? Rachel, Merry Christmas. God bless you guys. Everyone at Ramsey Solutions, how you guys doing?
Merry Christmas. Same here. How can we help?
I want to know if I am taking a ride on the Rambulance or if I am being reasonable. my wife and I are about to finish baby step 3. I would put us in baby step 3B. But prior to that, I'd like to buy a car. I want to save up for it, pay for it in cash, because I have one vehicle in my family, and it's a salvage title Toyota Camry, and I want to know if prior to baby step 3B, if saving up for the car is reasonable.
Sure. Absolutely. That's exactly where you do it.
Perfect.
Okay. I was like, James.
Now, the thing is, obviously, you know, what are the guidelines on cars? You tell me, James.
I'm thinking they're used Toyota, something. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's. Oh my God! I've been listening to you for 4 years, Dave.
No, you're fine, Jake. No,
I put you on the spot.
You gave
him a
pop quiz, Dave Ramsey. No, James, you did not fail. You didn't know you needed to study. No. Dave, just tell him the answer.
So, no more than half your annual income in total cars. The other car is the Camry with the salvage title?
Yes, sir.
So, it's worth
200,000 miles in it, but it still runs, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not worth much, okay? And what's your household income?
No. Household income is about 160.
Excellent. You do need some cars. You need two cars.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're driving the Camry's on its last leg, and you got no other cars, right?
No other cars, and I'd like to buy a RAV4, something all-wheel drive. I can't buy an electric car like Rachel.
Oh, it's okay, James.
Not everybody can be Rachel and George. Good Lord.
A RAV4 is great. That's a great car. Yes.
Yeah.
You're talking about a reasonable car. You guys make great money.
So what are you going to spend on it?
I'm in California. Everyone wants EVs out here. I still like me a combustion engine. I'm thinking 20,
okay.
25.
All right. And what are you going to spend on the other car? Because you got to buy another one, too.
I mean, this one still works.
All right. I think you need to move up a little. I'd move up to about a $10,000 car, probably. It's well within your budget, and you need to, it's time. You've gotten the emergency stuff behind you. 1, 2, and 3 is the hardcore gazelle intensity. Now you are moving from intensity to intentionality. You make $160,000 a year. You don't have to drive a piece of crap if you save up and pay cash for it. This is The Ramsey Show. Listen, everyone needs ID theft protection. It doesn't matter your age, how much money you have, or where you live. Once you're a victim, and it's likely to happen to all of us at some point, your personal and financial reputation gets ripped to shreds, and it's a nightmare to clean up. Having the right protection and not wasting money are key, and that's what Xander's ID Theft Protection Plan is all about. They've bundled together the services you need at pricing that can't be beat. With monitoring that includes your home title, VPN encryption, unlimited recovery services, and even stolen funds protection, you're getting a great value and dealing with people you can trust. I could go on, but you can see for yourself. Go to Xander.com or call 800-356-4282 and get the protection you need. Whether you're ditching an overpriced plan or getting protected for the first time, Xander's team are the only people I trust and recommend. In the lobby of Ramsey Solutions on the debt-free stage, Jarrett is with us. Hi, Jarrett. How are you?
I'm living the dream. How are y'all?
Better than we deserve, sir. Welcome. Where do you live?
Atlanta.
Oh, cool. Welcome to Nashville. And how much debt have you paid off, Jarrett?
$37,271.94.
Cool. And how long did this take?
19 months.
Good for you. And your range of income during that time?
Started at $52,000, made a job change, got a raise, promotion, took on some side gigs, so now it's over 60.
Good for you. What do you do for a living?
I'm a healthcare marketing specialist at a healthcare IT company.
Great. Good for you. Cool. What kind of debt was the $37,000?
So student loans. It was a credit card and then a loan I took out to pay off another credit card. So,
of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Real financial mastermind.
So what happened 19 months ago got you started on this Ramsey way?
So when I graduated from college in 2016, my one of my mentors, my saxophone teacher, was telling me, hey, you really need to pay off your debt, start investing, building wealth. And I was like, great, I'll do that. I did not do that. And then I went to work with her, his wife, and she was doing the same thing. So for 4 years, they were just pounding this into me. And I think I set an arbitrary goal, like, okay, I'll try to be debt-free by the time I'm 30. January 2020 rolls around.
Oh.
I was like, okay, I'll try to pay off the car this year. And I was like, I was not even Dave-ish. I was on like the LaCroix version of Dave, like just no substance at all.
The horrible no tasting substance. Water version of Dave. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did pay it off that year. And the next month when I should have started paying off another debt, I was like, okay, I've been good. I can treat myself a little bit this month and then I'll get back on it next month. And then so I paid off $6,000 on the car, but I replaced it with $6,000 of credit card debt.
Of course.
And I remember waking up at the end of the year feeling just horrible. I mean, I was like, I should have all this money, but I don't. And I got a Christmas bonus for my job at the time. And I know I had to just put it all on the debt. And I was like, this should be my money. Like, I hate waking up like every day feeling like this. Like, I have this weight on my chest. And I just snapped. And I was like, maybe it's time to finally listen to Chris and Kenyon, who were telling me all these years to actually do this and start getting out of debt and building wealth.
That's amazing. Well, and you did it in 19 months, $37,000, making 52 to 60. So you did, you sacrificed.
I did.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It was a lot of cutting back on stuff.
Yeah.
Went from eating out several times a month to going, okay, I have a coupon for a free taco in the Taco Bell app.
Free taco.
Yes, that I split with Julie, my partner. That was our date night. But I sold a lot of stuff. I picked up, I play saxophone as well, so I picked up some gigs. I dog sat for my sister. I helped a public speaker friend do his materials. I was supposed to also chicken sit for my dad when
chicken
he was on vacation.
Sit.
Oh, stop.
Yep. You have to say that carefully.
Yeah. That one didn't work out. Their vacation got canceled, but so I'm kind of bummed that didn't happen.
That's
but
funny.
Yeah. It was a lot of cutting back and
big money and chicken sitting.
Yeah.
Never heard of that in my life. That's too much. That's so great. Way to go, man. How's it feel to be free?
I remember the day I had the money to make the last payment. I was at my sister's house, and I was driving home, and I just laughed the entire way home. It felt so good. I woke up the next day, and like it was like seeing in color for the first time. It was just so, it was so amazing.
That's cool. You ever go back in debt now?
Mm-mm.
What do you tell people the key to getting out is?
So, I mean, make the plan, work the plan. It's not, there's no secret to paying off debt. I mean, so what really was it for me was knowing why you want to do it, because sacrificing as much as I did, freaking sucked.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I mean, it was tough a lot of times, and there were moments where I wanted to backpedal, but I would stop and close my eyes and visualize different points of what I wanted my life to look like being debt-free.
How it was going to feel when you got here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I pictured myself on this stage several times to kind of help get me through.
Yeah.
Pictured myself like at different stages of my life, what that looked like. And that was enough to stamp me back into my...
Yes.
Into my,
was that your why? Mm-hmm. Looking at the future self, right?
Yeah.
Future Garrett saying.
I like
Jarrett
it.
Saying, mm-hmm. yep, out there.
Very well done. All right. Who are your biggest cheerleaders?
So Kenyon and Chris, my mentors, they actually got onto your stuff about a decade ago and went through the baby steps, and they're living like no one else right now. And they came and visited you. My mom, who's here today, my parents, my family, all my friends. I would post updates on Instagram and people would message me and say, holy crap, this is incredible. I'm so happy for you. A lot of people. I also want to give a special shout out to my Grandma Jan. She is someone, I mean, you talk about people who live and give like no one else. Like, she is amazing. She's always been very open with her time and her money and just her resources, her network and everything. So she's kind of a great model for me.
Very cool. Way to go, Jarrett.
Awesome.
We're proud of you, man.
Thank
great
you.
Job.
Good
great job.
Very good job. Hey, we've got the Live and Give bundle for you, the Total Money Makeover book, the Baby Steps Millionaires book, both number one bestsellers, and, of course, the Financial Peace University one-year membership. If you've not been through it, go through it, or any of those. Give them away. Read them. Whatever you want to do. They're for you. Just to say thank you and to say we're proud of you, and thanks for hanging out with us here today in Nashville. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Good work.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Jarrett from Atlanta. $37,000 paid off in 19 months, making 52 to 60. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
3, 2, 1.
I'm debt-free! Yeah! Yeah! I didn't know you could buy one taco.
That's awesome. No, it's a... A coupon.
It's a coupon. I know, but I mean...
Oh, you're joking. I'm like, you're saying, like, oh.
Yeah. I'm just like, wow, one taco. Yeah.
Self-discipline, too, he had.
I'm telling
you,
that's
beautiful. That way.
Very cool.
Love
Very
it.
Good stuff. What a great, great story. What a great young man. Very neat. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Thank you for jumping in, America. We're glad you're with us. Sal is with us in New York City. Hi, Sal. How are you?
I'm Sir Andy. How are you?
Better than we deserve. What's up?
So I moved to USA about 5 years ago from Pakistan. When I moved here, I had nothing. Like, I literally moved here with like $1,000. And now, you know, I made my way up. I now make about $150,000 a year.
Wow.
But I took my wife's student debt, whatever you call that. I just don't get that. It's for $23,000, and then I took some advice from broke people and I bought a car, and my total debt right now is $45,000. I will be paying off that debt very aggressively. I think I should be done with that by the end of 2023. But I feel like I'm really late in the game to building wealth, because
how old
I'm
are you?
39 years old.
Oh, you're ancient. I don't know. How are you getting around? I mean, 39. You got
but,
a wheelchair
I mean,
yet?
You sound like my dad right now, but
Sal, you're but, good. I understand, because if you run the numbers out, you're like, oh my gosh, if I started this at 20, how much further ahead I would be. Yes. If I started at 30, I'm at 40. Am I going to? No, there's plenty of time.
You got plenty of time, Sal.
And Sal, you're only going to be making more. And with no debt, you're going to have more income to throw at investing and to be building wealth. You're going to be totally fine.
If you got the curve from $1,000 to $150,000 in 5 years in America, I think you're going to be okay. You're amazing.
That is very good to hear from you.
Yeah, you're
just
amazing.
One more question.
You're gonna get there, my friend. No,
we have a hard breakout. Sorry, Sal.
Yeah, absolutely. So
great job, though.
We got commercials coming in on us, brother. Sorry about that, but I know you can do it. You're on track. You're doing everything right. Hold on. We're gonna send you a Total Money Makeover book to give you the exact steps. Cruz, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. News headline popping up here. The Supreme Court said it will hear arguments in February in a case challenging the Biden administration's student loan debt relief program. But the Supreme Court kept in place a lower appeals court's injunction that prevents the program from taking effect for now. The plan is estimated to cost $400 billion. President Joe Biden's plan, the administration agreed to extend a pause. So the Supreme Court has today agreed to hear the lower court's the case in the lower court to prevent the student loan forgiveness program from going through the Biden administration.
And that's going to happen in February. So there's still two more months till it gets there.
Yeah, and nothing is going to happen until then.
Yeah,
and also, of course, the Biden administration, you guys are aware, this is extended to what, May or June, the no interest. So you can go ahead and get your student loan paid off. Really, this is the time to get it paid off.
Yeah.
And this is going to be drug out for years. Because no matter what the Supreme Court rules, it's also going to end up in Congress. Because if the Supreme Court rules that that the Biden administration can go ahead, the Republican-controlled Congress is going to pass a bill to stop it.
Yeah.
And so you can just count on this thing going back and forth, this ping pong. And again, we've said since the beginning of time, don't wait on someone else to fix your life. You don't wait on the government. Don't wait on the Biden administration. Don't wait on the courts. Don't wait on the Republicans to fix your life. You need to go fix your life. And that includes you paying off your student loan debt, which is, by the way, your student loan debt, not mine. And I'm a taxpayer. And if it is forgiven and paid by the taxpayers, that means I paid off your student loan debt. I resent that. Well, I do. I shouldn't have to do that. And a guy who's a welder and a guy who's a truck driver and this gentleman I just met who's a police officer, they shouldn't have to pay off your student loan debt. That's just... it didn't occur to anybody that was wrong, but that's wrong. You know, a guy who's working, a guy up here on the building working construction right now, hanging steel up there, up on top of the hill.
Paying for a master's degree.
Degree with somebody in left-handed puppetry who's, it's just wrong. It's just wrong, y'all. All right, Gregory is in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, Gregory. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave and Rachel. How are you folks?
Better than we deserve. How can we help?
So I just want to say I had the chance to speak with you guys here in Las Vegas a few months ago, and it's a pleasure to speak to you folks again.
Well, thank you. How can we help?
So here's my situation. I am 29 years old. I'm single, no kids. I'm a motorcycle police officer here in Las Vegas. Last December, I was in a pretty substantial work-related motorcycle accident, and I am receiving a workers' comp settlement for... It's going to be estimated for about $240,000
to
$260,000.
Wow. Are you okay?
For the most part, yes. I have a bunch of residual pains and aches. I was in and out of surgeries and physical therapy for the past year or so. Fractures in my back, broken wrist and arm, and tore up my knee, and pretty good. So I'm happy to be alive, though.
Yeah, bad wreck. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, so it happened, and I encourage everybody to be safe out there.
Amen.
But now I'm happy to be back at work now and doing my old job. So
you're on the bike again?
Yes, sir. That was my big goal, to get back up on the motorcycle and show myself I wasn't afraid of it.
I mean, getting back to work is awesome. Getting back on that bike scared the crap out of me. Okay. Wow, that's impressive, dude. Okay, so how can we help you today?
So I have been soliciting advice from some good friend and financial savvy family members about what to do with my settlement money here. And obviously my first thought was to just go straight into baby step 7, pay off the mortgage and everything. I'm locked in at 2.5% on a 15-year fixed rate mortgage. I have about $200,000 left on it. So it would be enough to just wipe out that mortgage completely. But family argues that I could put it into even just a CD at 4.5% and get a return on that, and just that would pay for a good chunk of the mortgage throughout the year. But obviously, I want to give some of it and pay off stuff. And that's my only debt left. So I was just wanting some Uncle Dave advice.
Okay. Gregory, how long have you been listening to the show?
I've been here about 4 or 5 years, and I know exactly what you say, exactly what you're going to say. But okay. You know, I feel.
So what am I going to say?
He just wanted some firsthand.
What am I going to say?
Write a check today, or when I get the settlement.
Ding ding. Okay. Now, can you articulate why your relative is wrong?
Well, I look at it a few ways with them. They are.
No, I mean, based on your 4 years of listening to this show, can you say why we would say your relative is wrong? I guess is a better way of saying it.
Well, help me out here.
Okay. Well, the data points, after we talked to 10,167 millionaires for the largest study of millionaires ever done, not your relative. We didn't talk to your relative, by the way. We talked to millionaires. And the number of them that said, I used the money from my mortgage. Instead of paying off my mortgage, I used that money to invest, and that made me wealthy. The number of millionaires that said that they used that technique was precisely zero. Not one.
Right.
Not one. Said, I became rich because I arbitraged my freaking house. I borrowed on my home and invested at a greater rate, which is arbitrage. Okay? It's the definition mm-hmm. of the term. And not one of the wealthy people say they do that. The only people that talk about that are people that talk about theory. And in the real world, though, the rest of us out here live in a world of risk. You've just about got killed on a dadgum motorcycle. You know what risk looks like, okay?
Right.
And risk is we don't know what's going to happen. And we do know that we've also done research that 100% of the foreclosures occur on a home with a mortgage. So when you borrow money, you increase your risk. And risk was not in mathematically in the formula that your relative used.
Right.
You are taking on more risk. And so if you were to adjust for risk and put the money into a 10% investment, you would break even.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, on the 10% investment, you also have to pay taxes. So you adjust for risk and taxes, your 10 is going to start looking a lot like 4. And you're going to be back down to mortgage rates again.
Yep.
And so it just doesn't work, and that is borne out then in the actual practical fact that people who actually do build wealth, not those that discuss theories about building wealth, but the ones that actually do it, use their most powerful wealth-building tool, which is not borrowed money. It is their income to become wealthy. And when you don't have a house payment, sir, you are in a position to invest very aggressively, to be outrageously generous.
Take a mortgage payment. Once you pay off this house with this money, this is money that.
You say he's 29 years old?
Yep. And then run out that mortgage payment for the next 20 years in an investment in what you could make investing that mortgage payment versus putting this money,
that
quote unquote,
one,
in a CD.
Yeah, that one thing will make you a millionaire.
That and Gregory, there no one's accounting for it, and people don't talk about this because it's not going to be in the numbers. But there is something about when you don't owe anyone anything. John Deloney talks about this. You have autonomy, when you don't owe anyone anything,
you
have the ability to do whatever you want. But whenever you hand a little bit of your future over, even a mortgage, and a mortgage is the one type of debt we don't yell at people for. But if you have the money to pay it off. And not to have a bank have any say in your future, there is a level where your mind, your soul rests and you sleep at night when you don't owe anyone anything. And again, that's more of the emotional side of this that is not put into percentages and interest rates, but it's very real. It's very, very real.
That's why Proverbs says the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. You don't run into generous slaves. You don't run into wealthy slaves. And this is the principle that we're operating on. And it really does work. So I appreciate the good intentions of your relative who is wrong, but they are ding, ding, wrong. This is The Ramsey Show. Dave here. You can find all of our shows with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. It's the only place to listen to the entire back catalog of episodes. Download the Ramsey Network app in your favorite app store today.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.